you don't know like I know. That I've been waiting for this time for a long time. To pastor and co-pastor, I thank them for this assignment. In the absence of my wife, I know she's with me in spirit. But I bless God for my wife who's studying hard to get her degree. To Reverend Padgett, Minister Mitchell, my little brother. Minister Voorhees, Deacon and Deaconess Tony and Deaconess Vera. To everybody under the sound of my voice. The word was read. It was no coincidence that it was our scripture that responsive reading. And I didn't look in the program. But I want you to turn back to Romans chapter 8. And I want to read it from the Amplified Bible, if you don't mind. And then I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8. I'm reading from the Amplified. But I want to start at verse 17 at the end of it, and I want you to get this. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. But what of that? For I consider that the suffering of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed into us and in us and for us and conferred on us. For even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known. Waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. For the creation, nature was subjected to frailties, to fertility, condemned to frustration. Not because of some intentional fault on his part, but by the will of him who so subjected it, yet with the hope. That nature, creation, itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children. We know that the whole creation of irrational creatures have been mourning together in the pains of labor until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves too, who have and enjoy the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, a foretaste of blissful things to come, groan inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies from the sensuality and the grave, which will be revealed, our adoption, our manifestation as God's sons. Here it is. For in this hope we were saved. But hope, the object of which is seen, is not hope. For how can one hope for what he already sees? But if we hope for what is still unseen by us, we wait for it with patience and composure. Now turn to 1 Peter, thank you. I'm glad you're with me. Chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Amen. When you get it, say amen. You ain't got it that fast.
Amen. I just want to have some fun up here today. Amen. 1 Peter 5, 6-11 reads, I'm still in the Amplified. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring. In fierce anger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him, be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. Here it is. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessings and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete, hallelujah, and make you what you ought to be, established, and ground you securely, and strengthen and settle you. To him be the dominion, yours is glory, power, authority, rule forever and ever. So be it. Amen. That's the word of the Lord. For a subject. Now, matter of fact, before I do this, let me give you my points first. My points is Jesus, Job, and Joseph. I gave them to you backwards because I always put Jesus first. But we're going to talk in the message about Joseph, Job, and Jesus. Scripture says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. The word reckon is defined as a calculation, an estimation. And as I began to study this over again, the Lord showed me something in the supernatural realm. And he told me to tell you that for all that you've been through, all the nights that you stayed up crying, worrying about this, worrying about your finances, worrying, he said, everything that you've been going through, everything that you suffered, I'm getting ready to bless you. God has calculated. And one thing you got to understand about God, God does not forget what you go through, especially if you're going through it for righteousness' sake. God does not forget your labor of love, where which you have labored and yet you suffer for the things that you did for God. And some of us are suffering just for saying no. No to the sin.
than enough. God got more than enough for you, but you're scared to ask him for the more. Yes, I've suffered. I've been through hell and high water. I've did all these things. But look where I am right now. The scripture says that you have not received the things yet. Huh? Hold on to the yet. That is a hope that God has promised. If you just hold on, the things that you have asked me for is about to come to pass. Here's another analogy. Think about a settlement day. You buying the house of your dreams. Can't wait to move in. But there's a settlement time. Remember the word said he'll settle you? There's a settlement that you're excited about getting that home. Huh? And in that excitement, the date might be tomorrow, but you're anxious today. Because in that settlement, when you move into the dream home, you're going to shout, you're going to praise God like never before because of the home. So here it is. You might not have it yet, but you shout as though you got it. Then we read that in Romans. Here's another one. You're waiting for a husband or a wife. You don't lay in the house all day with your pajamas on, rollers in your hair, slippers on, just waiting around as though he's going to ding-dong on your doorbell. And vice versa. Brothers, you don't walk around with your hair nappy. You don't stay in the house with pajamas on all day. You got to stay well-groomed. That attracts a woman from head to toe. Johnny Gill wrote a song that says, slip on that red dress and step in those high heels and put on some sweet perfume. It sure looks good on you. I'm not Johnny Gill. I ain't going. But when a man sees a woman like that, that man got to say, my, my, my. And vice versa. Because when a man is well dressed, I'm sure y'all ladies, my. Especially when he stares erect, chest pecs sticking out from here to. But a lot of us have been through for a long time. I've been here, I believe, going on 14 years. I've seen some come and go. I still see people still going through. But there will be glory after this. Think about not only the glory in heaven, but think about God turning things around on earth. You have to believe this. That there's nothing too hard for God. And you can't get through or get over whatever it is. Whatever this is that's keeping you from reaching your goals in life, whatever this that's keeping you from getting to the next level, perhaps in ministry, whatever this is, in order to get to that, you got to get over this. Listen, I have a few notes and I want to really get in detail of them. The this in this thing, there will be glory after this.
That's your thing. Brother Dennis gave me a CD, I believe over a couple months ago. And I was riding down, I leave 4:20 in the morning to go to work. And I always listen to KYW to see what's ahead of me. Accidents, I can turn, whatever. But the Lord said, turn to the gospel station. This small voice, and I'm like, okay, I turn. BB and CC Winers was on. Heaven. I'm like, God, I pray I make it to heaven. Thank you. I turn back to KYW. So he said, turn back after the song. I want you to hear this. So when I turned back, the song came out. Then the man's talking. I never heard the song before. Then all of a sudden, there will be glory after this. And I was like, wow. He said, God will turn it around. God will bring you out. But there will be glory after this. So I've listened to the song on my way to work. I'm praising God. I'm like, man, this is awesome. That this could be something of your past that you're carrying still in your future, in your present.
Wow. Wow.
That this could be something that somebody said that caused you to feel rejected. That this could be something that you holding on to your heart. And God told me to tell you, until you get let go of this, you can't have the glory. But it's kind of amazing how God is. Because his philosophy is totally different than mine. I sat down one day when I ruptured my Achilles, and I kept thinking, man, all this stuff in this world. And I said, God, why would you corrupt a man? Why would you allow a man that's already blessed to go through? Why can't he just stay where he is and continue to be blessed?
His philosophy is totally different than mine. Because I'm already blessed. I'm already living in righteousness. I'm already living in holiness. So why do I have to go through all of this to get that?
The Bible says that I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So if we get through this, we got the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Some of us been holding on to the pain of our past so long that we have experienced so much heartache in our hearts that we're afraid to let go. This may be a heartache from losing a loved one. This may be a sickness of some type you've been carrying for quite some time. That this may be with a sibling or a parent who you haven't spoken to in a very long time. That this may be a financial drought. That this may be a breakthrough you've been waiting for. Now, if you believe that, this too will come to pass. Am I right about it? You will be healed. You will have increase. You will have God's favor. The job is not too hard. The anointing is not too hard. That promise that God gave you years ago, that the devil tried to steal from you, I decree in the name of Jesus that you shall be healed. You shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. You shall be the lender and not the borrower. It's a season for a breakthrough. It's time for God's increase. And I dare you in the name of Jesus to start pulling down your blessing. Because all God's blessing is coming from above. And if you begin to just pull them down. Only two people pulled it down. They must want the blessing. It's been decreed that if you continue to live your life the way God said live, you will have the glory.
Hallelujah. All God's promises. Hallelujah. Everything he's promised is mine. Everything I've been through that God promised me is mine. The healing is mine. The ministry is mine. The financial breakthrough is mine. See, the Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. See, I'm going to bless him as though I already got what he promised. But I want to bless him with you. Because in verse 3 it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I dare y'all to start praising God with me because I came to celebrate Jesus because of where he brought me from and where he promised where he's taking me, where he promised what he's going to do for you. It's going to be done. Oh, y'all got to believe that thing. Today, your destiny is coming to fulfillment. Your breakthrough is coming to fruition. Your act, the turning point where God is going to pour out his spirit upon you. But you have to get in position. You got to get in position for what God promised. If God promised you something, why are you worrying? If God promised you something, why are you fainting? I've never seen so many people in my life in today's society fainting because of the material things of this world that's going to be destroyed. But if God made a promise, you best believe he's going to fulfill it. He's not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Have he said it and shall he not do it? Have he spoken it and shall he not fulfill it? Verse 20 of that has been left out all the time, but it says, I have given commandments to bless and I won't reverse it. Read it. Psalms 23, 19 and 20. God has given commandments to bless and he won't reverse it. So we at the turning point where God is pouring out his spirit. You have to get in position to receive what God is getting ready to do. A shift is taking place. But if you're walking upright, you won't miss it. You got to catch it because it's getting ready to happen. There will be glory after this. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done in your past, there will be glory after this. Listen, Apostle Paul writes exactly in the middle of the book of Romans. There are 16 chapters in the book of Romans. But in the middle, Apostle Paul received a revelatory experience concerning the flesh and the spirit. He knew that as long as we are alive on this earth, there will always be a tug of war with the flesh and the spirit.
Let me get some volunteers. Minister Mitch, I need you on one side. Little kids. Dante, Jaden, come up front. Quick, come on, let's do this quickly. I need you on the same side with this young man here. Come on, quick. Get on this side, pick the rope up. Dante, hold the rope with him. Just hold one side. All right, check this out. This is the flesh and the spirit. Flesh, spirit. Y'all think they're going to dominate them because they're stronger, much bigger. They're short. They're young. Come on, hold tight. I'm not going to let them pull you. there's always going to be a tug of war. Huh? Always. With our flesh and spirit. When we walk in the spirit, this is what the flesh does. When we walk in the spirit, this is what the flesh try to do. It's the flesh, the enemy is trying to pull us down. But when you walk in the spirit, that spirit can pull this flesh down. I can pull them both. I don't need their help. Because we're wrestling not against flesh and blood. But we're wrestling against so many obstacles in this world that's trying to pull us completely down. But when we're walking in the spirit, y'all can go. When we're walking in the spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Am I right about it? So you got to walk in the spirit at all times. You got to pray in the spirit. You got to read your word. You got to fast when God says so. You got to walk in the spirit like never before, because we serving living in a time of day when this devil is so belligerent. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy our families, our jobs, our community. He's coming after the church. We got to walk in the spirit. Flesh cannot be dominant over my spirit, because there's so much intact with God in my spirit that I have not received yet. I hope y'all can get this. If you ain't received it yet, then I'm going to walk in the spirit as though I got it. Praising God. Hallelujah. I received what you said, God. I ain't got it yet, but I receive in the name of Jesus. That every promise you promised me shall come to pass. If you are prayed up and fasting and studying the word of God, the spirit will take complete control. And there is nothing no devil in hell can do to you when you're totally in the will of God. Amen. This chapter of Romans is filled with promises. It's filled with hope. It actually is filled with a balance of life. If you walk according to the will of God, verse 18, my brothers and sisters, is approximately in the middle of a well-written and profound letter, not only for the Romans in their time, but also written to you and I, that starts with a bang. There is therefore now no condemnation in them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. In other words, Paul is saying, you no longer have to walk around feeling guilty of your past. Amen? You no longer have to walk around with your head down, because when you lift up your head, oh ye gates, and be ye ever lifted up, your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? He's the Lord Almighty God. He's mighty in battle. God said, I will fight all your battles. I'll fight them in your finances. I'll fight them in your community. There is no combination. So why are we walking around like we're defeated? We're God's children. So what the world is doing? They got their end. We got eternal life. There will be glory after this. Hallelujah. If God has forgiven you, then forgive yourself and walk into the new life that God has promised. Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if any man be in Christ, I know we've heard this a million times, he/she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become anew. So now you are found.
and give God a praise. What would those words really mean to you if you were on death row? Listen to this carefully. The fact is, the whole human race is on death row. Justly condemned for repeatedly breaking God's holy law. But, somebody say but. Without Jesus, we would have no hope at all. Am I right about it? But thank God, for he has declared us not guilty and has offered us freedom from sin and the power to do his will. Amen. Verse 2 says, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Amen. In other words, this life-giving spirit, according to Genesis 1 and 2, hallelujah. Let me say that again. This life-giving spirit is the Holy Spirit. He was present at the creation of the world, according to Genesis. There it is, Genesis 1 and 2. And he is the power behind the rebirth of every Christian. He gives us power we need to live the Christian life. And the only one who is trying to stop, that's trying to block, that's trying to shock the Christians is the devil himself. If he can persuade us to pack up and just leave the church and go about our own business, this he will try to do. Then he has tricked us, and you can see a lot of that happening right now in these last days. Am I right about it? So many people are falling short to the glory of God. So many people are so evil and just living any way they want with no respect to God's commands. No respect for humankind. Killing folk for no reason. Hating on material things. Killing their children because the spouse is cheating. The devil is wreaking so much havoc in our homes, in our churches, on our jobs, in our school. Like Paul says in Romans 8, 38 and 39. I am now convinced, and it's the NIT, and persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither death, neither life, neither angels, nor demons, neither any fear, nor any of our worries about tomorrow, not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing at all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? And if God be for us, no devil in hell can be against us. For all things are working together for the good and the bad, for those who are called according to the will of God. Am I right about it? All things. This does not mean that all that happened to us is good. Evil is prevalent in our fallen world. But God is able to turn every circumstance around for our long-range good. Amen? Look at the life of Joseph, who received glory after this. His this was, he made it to the palace. But first, let's look at what happened to Brother Joe. As a youngster, Joseph was perhaps a little overconfident. His natural self-assurance increased by Jacob's favoring him as his younger son.
and by knowing God's design on his life was unbearable to his other brothers who actually conspired against him. But this self-assurance, molded by pain and combined with a spiritual knowledge of God, allowed Joseph to survive and prosper where most have failed. Hallelujah. Joseph added quiet wisdom to his confidence and won the hearts of everyone he met. Joseph could have gotten bitter, angry with his brothers because they hated him and conspired to kill him. In all this, Joseph won the hearts of Potiphar, the prisoner of war, and other prisoners, the Pharaoh, and after many years, all those brothers. Are y'all getting this? Perhaps you can identify with one or more of these hardships Joseph experienced. He was betrayed and deserted by his family, exposed to sexual temptation, and punished for doing the right thing. He endured a long imprisonment and was forgotten by those he helped. But notice what Joseph did in each case. His positive response transformed each setback into a step forward. Can you, my brothers and sisters, when things occur to you, can you go forward and not backwards? It's designed by the enemy and his thinking that if I tip you and you fall, that you're going to go backwards. In this life, many of us have fallen short to the glory of God. Who are we to point and judge of those who have fallen? Instead of judging, we ought to love them and bring them back into the fold of God. We ought to love the hell out of them, love what they're going through. Just like Nineveh, Jonah was sent to Nineveh, was supposed to go to Nineveh to tell them to repent of their sins. I hope y'all are getting this. But Jonah, because of his,
it was weird to me.
Instead of Jonah going and preaching repentance, Jonah got upset because he looked at God, was like, why would you want to save these people? They're cruel. When you read about the Ninevites, you'll find out these people were really cruel. Why do God want to save people like that? Why did God want to save people like me? Like us. We're the same people before we were saved. We wasn't always saved. Huh? We were Ninevites. So if God can have mercy on the Ninevites, if God can have mercy on me, if God can have mercy on you, then you got to show love to those that are out there in the world. Am I right about it? So we move from Joseph to Job. But let me assure you of this, that Joseph went to the palace. All he went through, he received his glory. After this, went through the pit, rebuked of his father first, hated on his brothers, thrown in the pit, accused of adultery, thrown in prison. But after all of this, he made it to the palace. Brother Job, who received glory after this, this was later given to him according to Job 42 and 10. After Job prayed for his friends, he received double for his trouble. But let's first take a look at the beginning of the story that brought about the change in his life. First of all, the Bible says that Job was a wealthy and an upright man who shunned from evil. But there was a day when Satan appeared before God and God had asked him, why are you here? Satan said, I've been walking the earth seeking whom I may devour. But you have to understand, God started that. Because God said, has thou considered my servant Job, one who walks upright, who shuns from evil? And Satan said, yeah.
He said, but you got a hedge of protection around it.
Well,
he said, lift the hedge. Do you understand that's the same thing that Satan is doing to us? Walking, talking to God too. Remember, he was up there. He still got access because it says that in Job. He was there and God asked him. So he looked at it and said, if you lift it, I'll tempt him. He said, go ahead, but don't touch. You can't take a soul. Do you know that's the same way God is with us? And I'm soon to close. He lifted the hedge. Satan got in there, destroyed his life, tried to everything. Took his family, took his cattle, all the wealth he had. Then he got sick, boils all over his body. I hope y'all getting this. Then his wife told him, curse God and die, which I understood because a part of a book I'm writing talks about Job's wife, but nobody really talks about her. But Job's wife, the one that carried them 10 children. So she had an attitude too. Then he lost his wealth. She couldn't go shopping, couldn't go to the mall. So she had an attitude. Wouldn't you? Then, when you think about the intimacy of a husband and a wife, Joe laying on the bed with all these balls. She couldn't do it, he couldn't do anything. So, sister girl had attitude. I don't blame her. But then he had three so-called friends that came over and said, you had to do something for this to happen to you. But I came here to tell somebody, all this might happen to you in your lifetime, but you will receive glory after this. The Bible says that Job, at the end, verse 42 and 10, he prayed for his friends and God turned everything around. God gave him 10 more children. I'm sure she was happy. More wealth. She was able to go back to the mall, hang out with her girls. She got everything back. Double. And God said, I'm going to do the same thing for you. But his calculation, his estimation is totally different because it's a reckoning day we get ready to have. It's a reckoning day, my brothers and sisters. Because Jesus was the one that came and did it all. Jesus went to Calvary and did it all. He came through 42 generations. Suffered under Pontius Pilate. Went from judgment hall to judgment hall. Isaiah foretold this. This is exactly what's going to happen before Jesus go to the cross. He was judged for no reason. Spat on. Kicked, punched, scores. They whipped Jesus so bad for you and I that we don't deserve it. What we have right now. But Jesus did it for us. So that not only we can be blessed here, but we're going to have glory to shout it and everything there too. But we got to get over this. The this that's holding you down. I struggled for years with the this. But I said, God, today I'm breaking through with this. No longer do I want to walk around like this, holding on things in my past. I hope somebody can get this today. Jesus died on that cross. Jesus stayed down in that grave and got up early Sunday morning. Jesus went back to glory for us. Back where he said in John 14, let your hearts not be troubled. Ye believe in God, ye believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Do you want your mansion? I don't want to, I'm like Shirley Caesar. I don't want to live in hell and then die and go to hell. So you might as well get it right today because tomorrow ain't promised to nobody. There will be glory after this, but you got to get through to this. No matter what people say, what people do, what they have done, what they still going to do, as long as we're in this earth, we're going to go through trials and tribulations, but there will be glory after this. As long as we're here, this ain't nothing but flesh. We all will be tempted of something that will keep us from getting that. But if you can go through this and hold on, God made a promise to all of us that he will bless us like never before. going to help me with this? You're going to play this song that we've heard, fast tune, There Will Be Glory. After this, everything that we've been through, this is an encouragement that you can get through this. You can do it. I pray y'all praise God with me on this end. Hallelujah.